In this episode, I talk about your horse's MO. So is there a quirk or behavior that continues through as you train? That even if you improve it, it comes back. And how do we feel about that? And what do we do about it? So here we go, episode 248, The Horse's MO. Hi, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses will show up for us. So, let's get started. I just want to say from the beginning that my thoughts are not fully formed on this. A lot of times when I do a podcast episode, I have a whole list of bullet points and I've given it a little bit more thought. But as you know, sometimes I just like to muse on things and just kind of turn a thought around in my brain and then just, you know, open my mouth and let stuff come out and let you guys hear it. I hope that's okay. This subject might be something ridiculously simple, and there's a chance I'm overthinking it, but that's what I do. I like to play with something, turn it around in my mind, and yeah, and I'm sharing it with you, so you're welcome. I hope it ends up making some sense. So what I was thinking about recently was just, you know, especially having horses that I've known from before they were started, and now they're in their teens or even 20s. And so I've known them for a long time, and I've been the only trainer. And I was thinking about how some characteristics or behaviors showed up from the beginning, like they show you who they are. And then they, you know, the behavior shows up and you work with it and you train it and you improve it and it goes away. But then it's kind of there again. And then it might pop up at different times. And I find in the greater arc of a horse's life, I find when they start getting more mature and more advanced and you're kind of settling in, I found like, oh, wow, some of this comes back again. And I don't think it's purely a training behavior thing. I think it's something like a thread through who they are. So that's why I call it like the MO, right? And so where I'm finding this interesting as a trainer is because if I remember how they were in the beginning, that helps me through training. Because sometimes you're doing hard stuff. I find myself doing hard stuff. And sometimes that, you know, they'll be like, hey, that's hard. Or they show some behavior that tells me like they might be over threshold, or maybe they can't do this, or maybe they're uncomfortable, or all the things that I'm thinking about when some sort of behavior comes up. If we want happy athletes, we have to be focused like that. But then sometimes, you know, there'll be this behavior and I get stuck. I'm like, okay, I'm trying to do something hard. And then this little behavior comes up and then I go, all right, let me back off a little bit. Let me make it easier. And then at some point I go, wait a minute. Like, wait a minute. Like, this was the thing that they did when they were young. This is the thing that they did before I even was riding them. This is the thing they did when they were upset because I was asking them to stand still for a little longer than they wanted to. Or, you know, it's the thing that can show up when you're doing something super easy. And so I was catching myself seeing something come up with a horse, it's a change. And I go, oh, it must be over threshold. It must be hard for them. Let me back off. But then you get stuck in this, you know, touching the hard thing and not getting through it, touching the hard thing and not getting through it. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm on to you. This is not necessarily a warning sign that I'm over threshold. It's just that horse's MO. It's the thing that horse does. And just like with humans, sometimes, you know, our quirks are what makes us adorable. But like, no matter how mature you get and how much you learn in life, how to be, you know, a fully functioning adult human, you still got your quirks and they'll still show up. So I was wondering, you know, that's what I've been playing with and thinking about with my horses. It's not just cut and dry. So what do I mean by an MO? So MO stands for modus operandi. I don't even know if I said that correctly. But it's an, according to Wikipedia, it is an individual's habits of working, particularly in the context of business or criminal investigations, but also generally. It's a Latin phrase approximately translated as the mode or manner of operating. So it's kind of like their way of being, their way of moving through life. And so you can think of, you know, different horses. I'll give you an example. I brought Ovation, who is a Holsteiner Paint Cross. He's now turning 23 this coming year. And Atomic, who is National Show Horse. He's the same age, also turning 23. And so I got them very close to the same time. So they are very different individuals. And their MOs are completely different. Let me give you an example. So at my place, I have my fencing is no climb fencing, which, you know, it's that like 2x4 inch mesh, wire mesh. So it's safe for horses. And then there's either a top board with electric or just an electric electro braid top strand. And so I was going to be putting Ovation and Atomic in this pasture that had electrobraid. And generally, I want horses to discover the electrobraid so that they don't, you know, get into trouble with it. So I brought them up, and first I did Ovation. And Ovation walked up to it, and I just kind of stand in the vicinity. You have to be keep yourself safe, but I just sort of put them in the vicinity of the fence. They're probably going to investigate it, and then they'll realize it's hot, and then it's over, and now they know. And so I want them to find that out before they, like, put a leg over it or something silly like that. So Ovation walks up to it, sniffs it, gets shocked, hesitates for a second, goes, huh, let me try that again, I'm not sure. Reached his nose forward because he loves to put his mouth on things. That's his MO. Stuck his nose out, got shocked again, took a breath, put his nose forward again, got shocked again, and then he shook his head, snorted, stomped his foot, and took like half a step backwards and then looked at me. So that tells me a lot about Ovation, and that kind of MO has been pervasive through him. So he can, is as powerful and sensitive and attentive and, you know, trainable he's been, this sort of stoicness to pressure, you know, is part of his MO. So let me contrast that with Atomic. When it was his turn, I brought him up, and Atomic got in the vicinity, started to reach forward. He was about 6 inches from it, and he was already snorting at it. Like, he already could, I'm sure, feel the electricity pulsing through it. He leaned forward a little bit because, you know, horses are curious, and the edge of one of his little long muzzle whiskers touched it. I didn't even hear it zap. He flew backwards. I could barely hold on to him. And it took me 3 days before he would go anywhere near it or go through the gate to get in the pasture. So that tells you a lot about Atomic and how sensitive he is, how much he will, it's not hold a grudge, but like if you break his trust, it's going to take a while before he trusts again. And so this is all wrapped up into his MO. So that's, you know, that's the kind of things that I'm talking about. And I'm sure those of you are imagining your own horses and go, oh yeah, where are the things that they show you who they are? And it's kind of beyond personality. It's just a deep way of them, their manner of operating through life, right? And so things like that can be trained. Like I can train Ovation to be more sensitized and responsive, and I can train Atomic to be more confident in different situations and to realize, you know, when he's safe. So it is, you know, it's a way of being that, you know, can be trained and improved, but that kind of inner essence will show back up when things get difficult, for sure. But it also can show up just because it's a quirk of theirs. I'll give you, all right, this is going to get weird. I'm going to give you an example with myself, because I often, when I have like a idea around stuff like this, then I'm not like psychologically educated enough to talk about it at that level. I'm like, well, what do I do? I'm sure I have my MO and my quirks. Probably my husband could tell you my MO much better than I could. But I'm sure my MO will show up in times of stress. So that's what I look for. I'm like, well, what do I do when, you know, when there's things that I don't want to do? So if there are things, you know, there's things I'll resist because I know they're going to hurt, or if they're going to be too hard for me, like, and I know they're too hard for me. And so here's my way of doing that. I will rationalize my way out of it, right? So I'm gonna find all the really good, smart reasons why not to do something. I'll make excuses. I might get my husband to come with me, or a friend or something. Like, I'm going to bring someone along. And some of those behaviors can be trained out of me. Here's an example. If I need to get my blood drawn for like a blood test or any kind of medical procedure for that matter, my MO is I don't want it to happen. I will rationalize why I don't need that blood test. I'll find lots of good reasons why it's really fine. I don't need it. I will make excuses. I will get my husband to come along with me. Right. So these are all the things that I used to do. I used to like, oh, I don't need a physical. I'm fine. I don't need to just do blood work for the sake of doing blood work. I'm not sick. And then if I really had to, I'd get my husband to come along with me, because I literally would pass out. So often I couldn't drive home because it would take me a while to recover. And it was just more time efficient if I had him with me. So, but I've been able to be trained, right? So now, you know, I've used techniques. We figured out how to work with me, and I can now all by myself, like a big girl, go get my blood drawn, not pass out. And I now have ways to behave that get me past it. So instead of avoiding it when I start acting like that, we know how to get me past that, and I can go do it. So other people have trained me. I've been open to training, but other people have trained me. I've had help, and now I can go do it myself. But there's also some things that are not painful. They're not hard, and I'll still act that way because I just don't feel like doing it, right? So sometimes I will resist, and my little MO will come out for no reason other than like, meh, rather not. Don't feel like it, but it's not a big deal. If I go do it, it'll be fine. And here's what's interesting. Sometimes this behavior, my little MO behavior, will come out even when I do want to do something. So this is interesting. If I do want to do something, but probably I feel a little guilty about it, right? So here's one of my guilty pleasures. Sitting on the couch, eating a pint of Ben and Jerry's. It's not the healthiest thing to do. I don't do it as often as I used to. But like, that makes me really happy. It's my guilty pleasure. And watch something ridiculous on TV, which I also, well, I don't have TV, but some sort of streaming something, a movie or something. So that's my guilty pleasure. And my quirk will come out then too, my little MO. I'll use rationalization. I'll make excuses for why it's a good idea not to do other things that I think I should be doing. So my husband will come in the room and I'll just like list all my rationalization for why I don't need to do this, this, or this, or this. And that's why I'm sitting on the couch. I'll try to get my husband to join me on the couch. Like, I want other people with me because then I'll feel better about myself. So it's just kind of interesting because there's the same MO, but it's around something I want to do. Now, I know that horses are way less complicated in their brains and in their thinking than humans, or me in particular. So I get that. So this is kind of just a crazy example because I'm turning this idea around in my mind. But I think each horse has their own MO also. It's the thing that they just do because it's who they are. It may be a thing that they do when they're uncomfortable. It may be a thing that they do when they're like uber excited to do something. Or they do it just because they do it. It's just how they move through life because they just don't know any other way to be. It's not a decision. It's not a bad behavior. It's just how they operate. And so when we train, especially if we start getting into higher levels, and if we want them to be happy athletes, we're going to want to be reading the signs and definitely not going over threshold. And by default, I tend to err on the side of not pushing through. But sometimes we can, and we need to get to the other side of the challenge. So I often catch myself thinking, oh, my horse is doing fill in the blank, which means he's over threshold and telling me he can't. And I have to remember, hey, wait a minute, this is what he did when he was young and green and was being asked to do really, really, really simple, easy things. Or maybe it's just how he behaves in general. It's his MO. And if I've trained through it before, I can do it again. And the more I realize that this might happen and that this is going to come up, the easier and less frustrating it can be to work through it. I have some exciting news. After years of students asking, will there ever be an audio version of the Dressage Naturally book? The answer is finally yes. So the book will be read by me, but it isn't just a narrated version of the original text. I've added fresh commentary, new insights, behind the scenes stories, and I talk about how Dressage Naturally has evolved since the book first came out in 2007. I'm putting the audiobook in a podcast format, so if you love this Horse Training and Harmony podcast, and I think you do, I know you'll love the audiobook. Think of it as the book plus the conversations we would have over coffee at the barn. It has everything you love about audiobooks, with the intimacy and personality of a podcast. In addition to the full book content, you'll hear my updated perspectives on the evolution of Dressage Naturally, nuances I couldn't fully convey in print, expanded explanations to help you apply the concepts more easily, stories about the horses that helped me create the system, and personal insights about the creation of Dressage Naturally, and so much more. Now, the Dressage Naturally print book has illustrations and it comes with 3+ hours of companion video. So we made 2 options for you to get the audiobook. If you're a visual learner, you can get the audiobook plus commentary, plus companion videos, plus a PDF of the illustrations from the book. Plus, we'll give you a code to get the print book at 70% off. Or, if you already have the print book and video set, you can get just the audiobook plus the bonus commentary. Either way, you'll get a unique link to this private podcast, and then you can add it to your favorite podcast app where it'll live there forever. So it's not a subscription, it's a one-time purchase. So go to dressagenaturally.net/audiobook. Now we're currently offering a special discount for early access. So when you purchase it now, there will be some episodes already loaded and ready for you, and I'm still recording them, so new episodes will be dropped as they're completed. Now, once all the episodes are loaded, the early access special discount expires, and we're aiming to do that by January 1st. I hope you're as excited about this as I am. You can go to dressagenaturally.net/audiobook, and I'll leave the link to that in the show notes also. All right, now back to the pod. And I think thinking about this is going to help you with one of the most important moments in training, and it's that moment where we're thinking, do I need to back off or do I need to go through it? Do I need to make the questions harder? Do I need to make them easier? Or do I need to just persist through this a little longer? It's this moment where we go, oh, things aren't just easy and smooth. What do I do? And so those are the three options, right? We back off, we go forward, or we just stay the same, persisting. And in my book and in other places, I describe this playing field. So I think of this playing field of partnership and foundation, where everything inside the playing field, within the realm of partnership and communication and clarity and trust and relaxation and calmness and eagerness, like when you're in your playing field, things are okay. Like yours is like, all right, I'm in the game, let's go. And anything that's outside the playing field is something that your horse is afraid of or doesn't trust or doesn't understand, you know, things like that. And so it's really, really important to know, are you in the playing field? Are you outside the playing field? And in the graphics in my book, I draw the playing field as a square. And then when I draw the symbol of the sweet spot, which is the three circles of the relaxation, energy, and balance, I draw them as these big circles that intersect in the center, and that's a sweet spot. But I purposefully draw the circles of those conversations that go outside the playing field. So you can visualize that. There's a square, there's this Venn diagram of three big circles, and the outer edges of those circles, which is the size of the conversations that you can have with your horse about relaxation, energy, and balance, the outer edges are bigger. They're outside the square of the playing field. Because that's reality. That's training is doing the things that you can't do yet. Training is helping your horse become okay with the things he's not okay with. So it's important to know you're gonna get out there. But the playing field, the way I drew it, each corner has little arrows that are pulling and expanding out. So that visually for me really helps of like, okay, there's this thing happening. My horse is saying something. And we can decide to go, oh, I'm outside the playing field. Let me make the question easier. I'm going to stay inside the playing field. I'm going to ask him a question or ask him to do something I know he's okay with and get back in the playing field. Or we go, all right, I hear you. We're outside the playing field. But it's really, I think we can do it. But let's stay out there in that uncomfortable, unclear, confused place long enough for me to do what I need to do to expand my playing field, become more clear, build your confidence, you know, whatever it is to make my foundational partnership playing field bigger. So now we've expanded. And now that thing, I kept doing the thing you're not okay with. And now you are okay because I've increased all the factors of my foundation to rise the occasion, up my game, and now we're okay out here, right? So one, I retreat, and the other one, I stay there. And so even that other choice of staying and persisting, if you're staying and persisting, you've decided that you want to expand your playing field. You're just doing it not by adding more pressure, but you're just doing it by hanging in there and giving him a moment to see if he can figure it out. So I think that's just a decision-making point that as trainers and riders, we all have to be aware of, like, when are we on that edge? Because it's going to happen daily, perhaps. And so I guess the point of this podcast And this topic is sometimes there'll be a behavior that your horse does that is an indicator that you're outside the playing field. But there might be something your horse is doing that's a quirk that isn't necessarily outside, that might trigger you to think he's outside the playing field, but he's actually not. He's just him being him or her being her. And so I definitely don't have the answers here. I don't have a magic list to tell you how you're going to tell the difference. But I think if you, I'd love for you to play with this. I'd love for you to just wonder a little bit, like, is this my horse telling me something, or is this just my horse being himself? I wonder, I don't know. You know, I thought I'd put it out there for you to think about and explore. And I'd love if you sent me an email and just tell me if you figure anything out. You know, what did you observe? This might be just, I might just be overthinking everything. I don't know. That's what I do. So, you know, think about your horse. Is there a common thread or a quirk about your horse that's a behavior that's not, you know, necessarily ideal, but, and perhaps you've improved it through training, but it can come back and you find it maybe confusing as to whether it's a meaningful data point to tell you to change what you're doing, or is that change to back off or keep going to the other side, or is it just, you know, something they do and you go, yeah, you did that, you know, you do that when you're standing in the stall. I've seen you do that with other horses. Yeah, that's just the way you are, and no problem. Happy to work through that again, or just keep going and navigate through it. So anyway, let me know. I'd love to hear from you on this one. If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse, move in harmony, and enjoy the process.